This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Once again, we always go back to the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salam. We always go back to the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help find some peace, some hope, some consolation. Once again, in our deen, there is no concept of hopelessness. Inshallah, next week we'll go through, I have something in mind for next week, inshallah, that there are the word qanata yaqnutu. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. This means that to become completely hopeless in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are six places in the Quran that Allah talks about hopelessness. Inshallah, we'll talk about this next week. But today, inshallah, I want to talk about something from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when we reflect on the whole Gaza situation, we find ourselves in a similar situation, just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can see in his seerah. So we're talking about in the Meccan life. Often we talk about the Madani life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but let's go into the Meccan life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were three long years, three very, very difficult years, which was considered as the boycott years. These were the 3 years where the Muslims were economically, financially, socially boycotted from everyone else. And there was an agreement that was written and hung on the door of the Kaaba that going for the next 3 years, we're going to separate ourselves from the entire Muslim community. And I want you to understand that at that time, Muslims were very few in number. This was already a time where some of the Muslims had already gone to Abyssinia and so forth. So whatever remaining Muslims you have, compared to the rest, once again, the Muslims, they are considered as a minority. There is no military power in Mecca. Military power happened in Medina. So here the Muslims, all that they can do is they can only put their trust and hope in their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any other person at that time who is considered as a non-Muslim, there were some non-Muslims who did stand up for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the point is that when you look at our current situation, just like Muslims, they were fewer in number compared to the rest. Today we find ourselves, compared to the rest, very less in number. Even though today, wallahi, it's sad to say this, but even though Muslims may account for almost 1 billion people on the face of this earth, the reality is that we don't act like 1 billion. Our strength is not like 1 billion. That's the reality. But we find, once again, going back to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and just like he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were certain individuals in his life, such as a man named Mut'im bin Adi, a man who stood up for the Muslims, a man who said that I'm going to stand here and I'm going to support them, because what is being done to them simply on the basis of religion is not right. Today we find a similar situation, that there are many people who are not Muslims. They are either Christian, they are either Jewish, they're not Zionists, they're just simple Jewish people. And not only that, but even people who might not even believe in any God, these are people who are taking the streets. These are people who are saying, we stand with our Palestinian brothers and sisters in Gaza. They are the ones who are speaking up. And though everyone else who's on the opposite side, they're saying that they are supporting a certain militant group and so forth, it makes it, once again, everything is very clear. This has nothing to do with any militant group. This has to do with humanity. This has to do that when you see children, when you see babies, just last night, just yesterday, they bombed a hospital. They bombed an ambulance. Why? Because they were saying that there were certain people in that ambulance. When you see children and their corpses sitting there and they're bleeding to death and so forth, wallahi, the heart cries. The entire world, though they say that there are certain people, that the world is against them and the world is against the Palestinians, the reality is that the entire world, the governments may be against the Palestinian, but the overall majority of people are on the side of the Palestinians. One man in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Mut'im bin Adi, he stood up for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And not only that, but after, now let's fast forward a few more years, and you find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a situation where he feels now defenseless. Why? Because Khadija passed away. Why? Because Abu Talib passed away. These were the two defenses for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet alaihi wasallam would go outside, Abu Talib was there to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet alaihi wasallam would come home and he needs some psychological consolation, he needs someone to be in his side. Who was on his side? Who was in his corner? It was none other than Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Khadija was his internal support. Abu Talib was his external support. Now think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took away both supports. Now, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever once think the way many times we may think? That I am Rasulullah. I need the support. Why is Allah taking my wife away? Why is Allah taking my uncle away? Rasulullah never ever even thought in that direction. He never even thought anything like this. But he realizes that this is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khadija is gone. Abu Talib is gone. My defenses are gone. It's as if anyone can now take a shot at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is as if the mushrikun, the Quraysh, now they can do anything to the Prophet ﷺ, and no one is going to be there to question their actions. Just like today we see that they can, that the Israel can go and they can break every single international law, but there is no repercussions. They can break every single international law, but there are no consequences. When Russia does it, there are consequences. When they do it, there are no consequences. So we see the same thing, a similar situation in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only that, but after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided, let me go to Ta'if. Let me try to go find some political support over there. When he was rejected from there, he came back to Mecca. He called Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he said, I need some diplomatic immunity inside Mecca. I cannot be in Mecca anymore because now they have a free reign. They have a free hand to do whatever they want to me. At that time, once again, Mut'im bin Adi, he stood up and he says, I will provide protection to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you were considered as a foreigner and you did not have a strong position in the society, you had to be under someone else's political protection. So the Prophet alaihi wasallam at that time was looking for political protection. And at that time, once again, Mut'im bin Adi, a non-Muslim man, he came to the aid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he supported Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now fast forward many years later, and we come now to the Battle of Badr. And at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has the prisoners. The Battle of Badr has already taken place. Now you have the prisoners. Mut'im bin Adi is already gone by then. He's already passed away. But the point is, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do at that time? He said, if Mut'im bin Adi was here today, and he would vouch, and he would try to convince me to let them go, and he would speak on their behalf for Mut'im bin Adi, I would have let them go. I would let these people go. And what the Prophet ﷺ is doing, brothers and sisters, is he's recognizing, he's appreciating Mut'im bin Adi. Though he's a non-Muslim, he's appreciating him for his efforts. He's appreciating him that when we needed him, he was there for us as Muslims. So what we learn from this, from all this that I've mentioned, and I'm going to finish on this inshallah, there are several things that we learn. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a corner, defenseless, we find today our brothers and sisters in a corner, our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in a corner, defenseless. There's nothing there to support them except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt that the entire world now can do whatever they want to me. Everyone in Mecca can do whatever they want to me. Just like that, today we find ourselves in a similar situation. The world can do whatever they want. They can break all international laws and they can be war criminals and so forth, but there is no repercussions. There are no consequences. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going out looking for support. Like this, the Muslims, subhanallah, Muslims are trying to go out and find support. Forget about people who don't believe in Islam, but even our own Muslim political leaders. Wallahi, may Allah give them the ability to understand. And wallahi, I hate to say this, but this is exactly what textbook munafiq is. This is what a textbook munafiq is. Internally, you are not, you, outside you show you are a Muslim. Internally, you don't support the Muslims. This is what our political Muslim leaders are doing. But then more than this, it is important for us that when we see a non-Muslim supporting our Palestinian brothers and sisters, when we find people who are influential people in society, in media, people who are TikTokers, people who are YouTubers and so forth, when they come forward and they support Palestinians, they know very well now, the smoke has been uplifted. Now people are starting to see the truth that if you stand up and you speak for the Palestinians, your career could be in jeopardy. Your influence could be in jeopardy and so forth. But yet there are people who are saying, I will speak up for the Palestinians. And what is our job as Muslims, because we learned this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that we need to appreciate them for their speaking up for us. Wallahi, today we don't appreciate them. Yes, we're very quick. We're very quick in sharing things. If you are sitting on Twitter, you just retweet it. You're sitting on WhatsApp, you forward it. You're sitting on Facebook, you share it again. We are pushing information forward. But just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is recognizing, he is acknowledging, he understands the efforts of Mut'im bin Adi. He remembers Mut'im bin Adi, that when we needed him, he was a non-Muslim, but he was there for us. Likewise, when we find people like this, it does not take a lot of time if you send them a private message. Thank you so much. Yesterday, I was sitting on social media, and there was a lady, I saw a video of hers. She was saying that she made a video in support of our Palestinian brothers and sisters. And she said that when I made this video, there are so many thousands of people who sent me private messages thanking me for my support. Wallahi, these people, even though they may have thousands, hundreds and thousands of followers and so forth, but when they stand up for our brothers and sisters in Gaza, and though there be other people who will say, you know, they will forward their message, they always appreciate private messages. I'm telling you, honestly, they appreciate private messages. You send them a DM, you send them a PM, whatever you do, you send them a message, a direct message, a private message, and you say thank you so much that in times like these, where people's careers are in jeopardy, and your career could be in jeopardy, and your influence could be in jeopardy and so forth, and you could lose thousands and thousands of followers and so forth, but thank you so much for standing up for our brothers and sisters. We need to do this because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the same exact thing. So in this situation that we are in, first of all, just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never had any military power, but he put his trust in Allah. He always made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a situation like this, we can do those kind of things. There are ways that, you know, once again, make dua, push the word forward, have our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank the people who are standing up for us. Those who are not Muslims and they are supporting, send them a message telling them, you know, you appreciate them for standing up on the side of the truth. And not only that, but, you know, always we have to understand and be smart about our money and where we spend our money and so forth. So inshallah, we keep on doing these kind of things and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the truth to the front. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقْ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. Inshallah, the haq will come and the haq will remain, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and be on the side of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every single person, man and woman, Muslim or not Muslim, who stands on the side of the haq, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. May Allah protect them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the best in this dunya and the akhirah. Ameen rabbil alameen. Wa jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inna al-muslimina wal-muslimati wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minati wal-qanitina wal-qanitati wal-sadiqina wal-sadiqati wal-sabirina wal-sabirati wal-khashi'ina wal-khashi'at والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيماً.